News. I'm Kelly Sloan. For more news, we're on the web at usaradio.com.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
The show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
All right, we're back. It is all about Bucket Strategy Investing. We appreciate everybody joining us. You got the one show that gives you the strategies you need to help you get to, and I would suggest through, retirement. That's our goal anyway, right here. We're standing by, ready to crank out more quality programming, and I would say also expert advice this hour. We're going to be talking about something that many people have been convinced to do. I would suggest whether it's right for them or not, and that has to do with buying real estate in their IRA. Now, you've probably heard the sales pitches, which tell you that if you buy your real estate inside your IRA, you can defer all the taxes or maybe pay no taxes at all if it's in a Roth. And you know, some of that stuff is true. But of course, the question remains, is it the best move that you can make when you're buying real estate? Real estate is an important component, or can be, anyway, an important component of many people's portfolios. We talked about REITs a week or so ago. And so we're going to talk a little bit about this. It has to do with asset location. Where do you put it? Where's the best place for it? So we're going to talk about this with Professor Rick Plum. I'm Johnny Dean here, by the way. If you got a question for the Brain Trust, you can call us right now. Our studio lines are open, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. We do have all the lines open right now as the hour is just getting started. Emails, you get those to us at wealthed.com. At the Find Your Answer link near the top of the page. Professor Rick Plum, our main Brain Trust advisor, here with me once again, courtesy of the wonderful people at Lucia Capital Group who bring you this hour of the program. If you need a bucket strategy put together, you need one done specifically for you, one that fits your goals, you can call the professor or anyone at Lucia Capital Group at this off-air number, 800-644-1150. 800-644-1150. You know, preparing yourself for whatever might happen is one of the keys to a successful retirement plan. You need to make sure you have a plan for whatever might happen down the line. Once again, the number at Lucia Capital Group, 800-644-1150. That's the off-air number, 800-644-1150. On the air, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R, 877-752-6637. We talked about real estate, I don't know, a week or so ago, Professor Plum. Real estate by itself, investment type real estate, whether it's, you know, land or it's rental properties or property, whatever, is an important component or can be for many people's portfolios. Why is that?
Well, there's a tangible effect. You can see it. You know where it's at most of the time. I mean, if you're buying an investment property, you can go by and look at it. It's difficult to get a real feel and emotional attachment to a stock that's on a piece of paper or on your computer that do you even know the name of it, or a mutual fund that has hundreds of stocks in it. You just look at the return and hope it works. But with real estate, it's a tangible asset. You can see it, you can feel it, you can, you know, see mm-hmm. what's happening. And so, and historically it has done very well at times. Now, there have obviously been, you know, some times where it didn't do so well. Anybody who bought property in, you know, late 2005, 6, 7, they may be a little bit, you know, gun shy of it right now. But people who have owned real estate for long periods of time, and, you know, people that I know that are very, very wealthy did it usually in one of two ways. Either they built a business that, you know, was a niche and they just made a lot of money from their business, or they started buying properties, you know, back, you know, in the 70s and in the 80s, and they bought it and they held it and they held it and they held it, and they either 1031 exchange to another property, but they just kept buying property and they've held it for 30 or 40 years, and they've been able to add to it over time, and mm-hmm. they've been able to do it very well. Now, they were relatively judicious on their leverage. They didn't go crazy on the leverage, even though leverage can, in good times, enhance the return on your actual equity. It can also, as we found out in 2009, 10, 11, hurt that equity, or maybe even take it all away. So leverage is an issue. But real estate is one of those things that we can get very emotional about. We can get very tied to. We figure that everybody's got almost every business has to have a place to do business. Everybody has to have a place to live.
It's an important thing
we get emotional about.
You can, and you get attached to it. And when you talk about investment type real estate, though, there are certain tax advantages that sometimes people just own real estate simply for, say, the tax advantages. I'm not saying that's a good reason to do it, but there are people who do so.
Like anything else with taxes, the tax advantage is a byproduct that can enhance the reason to buy a property. It is not the only reason to buy a property. We learned about that back in the 80s. Back in the 80s, we did buy properties. We did do limited partnerships. We did do real estate investing for the tax benefits. You could buy a property and get a 3-for-1 write-off. You could actually make more money on the tax, if you were in a higher tax bracket, you could make more money on the tax savings than you paid for the property. So the actual fundamentals of the real estate didn't matter all that much because you were making so much money on the tax savings. Tax Reform 86 did away with all that. And now we had to go back to actually looking at, is this fundamentally a good investment? But fundamentally a good investment, yeah, it still can be a fundamentally good investment that, oh, by the way, also has some nice little tax benefits.
Yeah, talk about those for just a second. The tax advantages of owning investment real estate.
Well, there's two reasons basically we buy real estate. One is for the cash flow that you can hopefully generate from that real estate. The other is for the appreciation. Obviously, the appreciation is a deferred event. If I buy something today, but I don't sell it for a long time and hopefully it goes up, that hopeful appreciation, I don't have to pay taxes on until sometime down the line when I sell it. And if I happen to own it when I pass away, nobody pays the appreciation that occurred up until the point of death. So the appreciation can be a nice little deferred issue, long-term capital gain, for most real estate investments. It's hard to flip a real property within a year. But on the other side, there's income. Now, we generate income by renting the property out, leasing it out. That rent that comes in, that cash flow, that positive cash flow that comes from the tenant can be offset by the expenses that I'm paying to maintain the property, the repairs that I have to do, some maintenance I have to do, water, gas, electric, whatever else, the insurance, the property tax, all those things reduce the taxable event that I'm showing on my return. I mean, obviously, I'm paying for it out of that cash flow as well. But that's just it helps me reduce it so I can get a cash flow. The other thing is, a non-actual expense, physical expense, non-cash flow expense. For repairs and maintenance, I actually have to pay for it, and I get to deduct it. For property tax, I pay it, and I get to deduct it. But there are some non-tax items, specifically depreciation, that reduces my cash flow from a taxable event. It doesn't reduce my cash flow from a physical cash flow sense, but I don't have to show it all on my taxes. Therefore, I don't have to pay taxes on all of my rental income, my net rental income from operations.
Yeah,
I get to reduce it and basically shelter some of that income.
Yeah, 877-PLANNER, our number. If you have questions on any of this, 877-PLANNER. Talking about real estate here, on depreciation, when you own, call it rental real estate, because I think that's what a lot of people tend to own, some type of rental property or properties, you are allowed to, in fact, you should take depreciation on that property. Let's explain what that is.
Well, land is not a depreciable portion of the property, but a structure, a physical structure, basically they're giving you the idea that the physical structure deteriorates, or the useful value of that physical structure as it gets older goes down in value. Something that is brand new has more value than something that is 15, 20 years old. We're basically getting our use out of it through the years. So we have a tax deduction to account for that use of the using up that structure. And so that's called depreciation. Now, there's strict rules about how you do it. And depending upon what you're depreciating, there's a useful life of certain assets. A house, a rental home, a property that I'm renting out that's a single family house, a condo, a personal dwelling, that has, according to the IRS, a useful life of 27 and a half years. So basically, if I pay, you know, X amount of $350,000 for a property and the structure is worth $275,000, I get to reduce my net taxable income by, divide that by 27.5, I did the math on purpose, $10,000 a year. So I rent it out for $2,500 a month. So I've got $30,000 of cash coming in. I have, call it $5,000 of expenses. I'm making this up. And so I've got $25,000 of net rental income. I get to put $25,000 in my pocket. How much goes on my tax return? Well, I'm depreciating it at $10,000. I show $15,000 on my tax return. Now, not everybody can take the depreciation. There are limits. They don't like rich people. And so they want to limit the rich people from taking all these deductions.
And what is a rich person, Professor Plum?
Anybody who makes more than $100,000. So
is it single or married?
I believe so. I mean, I'd have to look at the single side of it. But
okay, all right.
Say, married couple, $100,000. If you want to, let's say I wasn't so lucky that $30,000 in rents that I was receiving, I've got mortgage interest, property taxes, repairs, maintenance, all those good things, of $30,000. I am basically exactly breaking even from a pure cash flow standpoint. If I make $100,000 or less household income, my wife and I can show a loss due to the depreciation at this point of $10,000. So I can actually reduce my ordinary income by that $10,000 loss on my rental property. That's what everybody talks about. You can show a loss on rental property. It helps shelter other incomes. But what if I make more than 100? I lose the ability to show a negative number from passive rental activity.
877-PLANNER, that's the number. If you've got questions, it does not have to be on real estate, but you can give us a call, talk to us about whatever money issue you have. 877-PLANNER. We're going to talk about putting that real estate in your IRA. Is it a good idea? We'll talk about it when we come back on Bucket Strategy Investing.
If you're investing in the stock market, you know there may be reward, but you know there will be risk. So consider this. Would you sacrifice some of the gain you may get with your investments if you could potentially reduce some of the risk and potentially cut some of your losses? If you answered yes, you need to learn about a risk buffer strategy. With a risk buffer strategy, an insurance company insures your investment for a certain percentage of loss over a given period of time, and you determine the level of protection you get. Watch a short video at riskbuffer.com. That's riskbuffer.com. That explains how you can potentially reduce risk when the market may be down, but still capitalize on stock gains. Can you find a way to manage risk in unpredictable markets? Watch the video at riskbuffer.com. Riskbuffer.com. A risk buffer strategy involves purchase of a variable annuity, which is a long-term investment product. Guarantees are based on the claims-paying ability of the issuer, subject to their terms and conditions. Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC. This is a special invitation for business owners or human resources managers representing companies of 50 or more employees. The retirement planning strategists at Lucia Capital Group will travel to your city and present a customized private retirement planning seminar for your employees. Rick Plum and Terry Keyes have spoken to thousands of individuals about planning for retirement and address their concerns about outliving their money, stock market volatility, managing taxes, company-sponsored retirement benefit plans, and more. Now they're available to speak to your organization. This is a convenient way for your employees to get their retirement questions answered and learn how a plan can be designed to integrate all of their retirement resources. Call Lucia Capital Group to schedule a private retirement planning meeting. Call 800-644-1150. That's 800-644-1150. Rick Plum and Terry Keyes are registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer, member SIPC. Lucia Securities is a wholly owned subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group, a registered investment advisor. All investments are subject to risk, including loss of principal.
Life can be unpredictable. That's why you should take control of your family's future now with an estate plan bundle from LegalZoom. Not sure whether you need a last will or a living trust? LegalZoom's network of independent attorneys in 48 states can help you decide which one's right for you without billing by the hour, since LegalZoom isn't a law firm. Plus, updating your estate plan as your family and assets grow couldn't be easier. Enjoy your life. Use LegalZoom for the legal stuff. LegalZoom. Legal help is here.
Welcome to Staples.
Staples guy, you know what business people hate?
Stale coffee?
Ink.
Right.
We have to have it, and it's so darn expensive.
Well, Staples just cut ink and toner prices.
Really?
Add in our 110% price match guarantee, and our prices are unbeatable.
Great. Know what else every business owner hates?
What?
Paper cuts.
So true.
For unbeatable prices on ink and toner, Staples. Make more happen.
Staples will match price plus refund 10% of the difference at
at checkout for items from retailers operating online and retail stores. Limited time. See store or staples.com for details.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370, 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Bucket Strategy Investing. Taking your calls, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R, 877-752-6637. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum here from Lucia Capital Group. And again, we thank them for sponsoring this hour of the program. They do a wonderful job over there. And if you've got questions on anything at all, you can give us a call right now at that number, 877-752-6637. We've been talking a little bit about real estate here. We're going to get into buying the real estate inside the IRA. We kind of gave you some of the advantages of doing so. Depreciation you can take, appreciation, capital gains tax rates. You can write off certain expenses, maintenance, property taxes, interest, that kind of stuff, which you may or may not be able to do inside of an IRA. So we're going to talk about that. But we got some folks on hold. We're going to take the calls right now. 877-PLANNER, once again, is our number, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Let's go to Minnetonka, Minnesota next. Andrew. Hello, Andrew.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Good, how are you?
Not too bad. I was just listening to the program, had a quick question, and was hoping to get your guys' perspective.
All right, what do you got for us?
So I'm 27, my wife is 26. All together in debt, we have about $50,000 in student loans, and then we owe about $125,000 on our townhome. And I'm just curious if you know, I hear many different radio programs. And on one hand, I think maybe I should pay off all the student loans and then pay off our home before I go buy an investment property. On the other hand, I think that that might be an overly large safety net, and maybe I should buy an investment property sooner, specifically a rental. So just curious what you guys think about that.
I wouldn't worry about the house that you're living in. I don't mind having the mortgage debt. The question to me is, should I pay off the student loan before I start investing in real estate? And that depends on the fundamentals of the real estate you're buying and how much money you have to put down on it. You know, what's the interest rate on the loan you have right now?
On the loan we have right now is
I think it's
4. The insanely high.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then insanely high means
6.5. It's kind of crazy.
It's what do you say? What was it?
About 6.5.
Well, that's not insanely high.
That's
almost reasonable.
Par for the course for student loans, I think. Yeah.
So the idea is, let's say you build up $20,000, or for a down payment. Would the down payment do better by paying it off the student loan and basically saving that 6.25%? Or would it do better, can you have that equity or that $20,000 do better by buying a real estate property that may even throw off some cash flow and grow? 6.25% doesn't scare me that much on the student loan. And depending upon the rental property, I would probably, if you can find the numbers work in your favor where you can cover all your expenses, even under a little bit of pessimistic assumptions. A lot of people go into real estate with the idea that, okay, I'm going to rent it out for $1,500 a month, and it will always be rented. I'll always have that $1,500 a month, and I won't have to do any repairs. I won't have to do any maintenance. I'll never lose a tenant. And at that rate, it looks like it's going to be, really good. But everybody loses tenants from time to time. Everybody has repairs that they weren't ready for from time to time. And so
be pretty conservative with it.
And if you can make it work and it's going to cover everything, and you think that if you're putting $20,000 down on a $100,000 property, a 6% growth of that equity doesn't require a 6% increase in the property value. a 6% growth in the equity, only probably needs a 1 or 2% growth in the property value to actually have a net worth increase greater than the cost of the student loan that you're going to continue to maintain and obviously pay down from other areas. But you have to make sure that you have enough cash flow cushion from your jobs or from other areas to be able to make your mortgage payment, to be able to make the payments on the student debt, have enough money left over to fund and afford problems that may or may not occur at the rental property. But as long as you go into it with those kind of aspects, I think you can probably do better with the rental, assuming you are landlord material. Not everybody is landlord material. And so if you are good at landlording it.
Have you looked into that at all, Andrew? Have you checked what sort of tasks are involved as being a landlord?
I haven't. Full disclosure, I'm a realtor.
So. Oh, okay. I was
really calling, about the financial aspect of it, and I think that it's the most valuable thing you can do is pull as much information as possible before making a decision.
Oh, yeah. Right. So, well, there you go. Exactly.
And be pessimistic on the cash flows because, hey, everything works out in the best of case. We want to make sure it works out with less than stellar assumptions involved.
I wouldn't
worry too much about paying off the debts you have right now. Six and a quarter doesn't scare me that much. Many of them are at 8. And obviously, if it was credit card at 18, 19, I'd have a different animal or a different game. But, if it goes back to the property. Unfortunately, properties can be very good and very bad. Two properties sitting next to each other. One could be a great one. One could be a poor one, depending upon who you get in as tenants. But done properly, I think you could probably do okay.
Well, perfect. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
All right, Andrew, thanks. And hold on if you have any other questions. We can talk to you a little bit more about it.
When better time to take a chance than when you're 27?
I was just
going to
say, 27 years old. I mean, I didn't have any cash flow available to me when I was 27 to do that. And I'm not even sure if I had the wherewithal to do it.
Landlord material, either one of us, probably not the greatest.
I'd been a tenant. Okay. In college, I'd been a tenant and I know what they had to put up with. All right. That's just the way it was.
That's assuming you can find somebody to rent to somebody like you.
Well,
that's
true. I was all right, but I had roommates.
Andrew's going to probably rent to somebody a little more stable.
In real estate. So, I mean, he's a realtor. So he already knows at least some aspects of this.
Yeah, and now, a lot of younger individuals who want to get into real estate, they may go out and buy a duplex or they live on one side and they hopefully use the rents from the other side to help them actually pay for the whole thing. That's one way I've seen people, especially younger people, get into it because it's hard. I mean, it's hard enough coming up with the down payment for your own place, let alone the down payment for, investment properties as well. And that's where real estate has had its problems, is the fact that it's so expensive in most places to get into it. You have to have a down payment. And then it's hard to cover the cash flow with a small down payment. You got to have a reasonable down payment to be able to give yourself some kind of, at least break even to slightly positive cash flow. And, back in, 2005, 6, 7, we heard all these people talking about, I know I'm going to be negative by $2,500 a month, but don't worry, the property is going to go up by $100,000 in the next year. Well, that worked really well for a little while, right up until it didn't.
I think it worked for about 6 months. Six, 8 months.
I just, from a real estate standpoint, for most cases, now there's always the outlying cases, a positive cash flow is a good thing. I don't want to buy a property that has negative cash flow from the start. I mean, assuming I'm doing it purely from investment reasons. Obviously, if I'm buying a place for my mom, dad, somebody, my kids to live in, and I'm helping them out to get started, and I'm basically feeding it to help them. That's not truly an investment decision. That's a family decision. But if I'm looking at it purely from an investment decision, I want at least some kind of positive cash flow. I don't want to buy a negative cash flow item. I've got enough negative cash flow things on my budget. I don't need more.
Yeah, it's going back to that, as you said, saying, well, so what? I'm losing money now, but overall, I know when I sell this thing in 6-8 months, I can flip it because I've heard so many people do this. I can flip it and I'll lose $30,000 over the next 5 months, but I will be able to,
make it up in volume.
Yeah, exactly. That's almost like what that is. I mean, in many respects,
that's
the old argument.
Long way to go to get to some appreciation.
It is. And of course, so many people got burned. Most people who tried that did get burned. Frankly, it isn't worth it. All right. We were talking about real estate. We're going to continue to talk about some of that. So if you've got questions on anything else or on real estate, you can give us a call. We just now got three lines open all of a sudden, 877-PLANNER. PLANNER, 877-752-6637. Room for you to talk, Brain Trust. Professor Rick Plum, Johnny Dean from Lucia Capital Group, talking to you about strategies when we come back on Bucket Strategy Investing.
It's one of the most common concerns for stock market investors.
Nobody knows when the next market collapse is going to happen.
Ray Lucia Jr. on the Risk Buffer Investment Strategy.
Really, the question is, how do we prepare for the next market downturn?
Many investors fear another severe market drop.
They remember 2008 like it's yesterday, and they're looking for ideas and concepts where they may be able to protect some of their portfolio. And that's where a risk buffer potentially comes in.
Spend 10 minutes watching a video that explains the risk buffer concept and where it may fit in your investment strategy. Now online at riskbuffer.com. That's riskbuffer.com.
Within the strategy itself, there's lots of ways to customize it.
Ray Lucia Jr. explains the risk buffer strategy in a free video. Go to riskbuffer.com. That's riskbuffer.com. A risk buffer strategy involves purchase of a variable annuity, which is a long-term investment product. Guarantees are based on the claims-paying ability of the issuer, subject to their terms and conditions. Ray Lucia Jr. is the CEO of Lucia Securities LLC, member FINRA SIPC, and affiliate of Lucia Capital Group. Social Security rules that may affect your benefits are changing in 2016. Do you know how you'll be impacted?
My question has to do with Social Security and...
The Bipartisan Budget Act of 2015 changed the way some couples will file for Social Security benefits.
Are we each allowed to take a spousal benefit on the other?
The rules that previously allowed a spouse to claim a partner's benefit while allowing their own benefit to grow have changed. If you were born after January 2, 1954, you may have questions about the laws affecting restricted claims on spousal benefits. Call the Social Security hotline, 800-838-0483. Find out if you'll be affected and if there's action you need to take. Call the free Social Security hotline, a resource for updates on changing rules and regulations. Call 800-838-0483, 800-838-0483. The Social Security Hotline is not endorsed by or a service of the Social Security Administration or any government agency. Lucia Capital Group is not affiliated with the Social Security Administration.
QL1, this is Control. Does Rocket Mortgage require me to fill out a bunch of paperwork?
That's negative, Control. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans is the first on-demand mortgage machine that quickly and seamlessly imports your financial data. You can go through the entire mortgage process on your own and completely online.
Copy that, QL1, but if I wanted to speak to someone, do you think they're out there?
They're out there, all right. I've made contact before. In fact, according to J.D. Power, they've provided award-winning client service for 6 years in a row.
Roger that, QL1. It's nice to know they're out there, wherever they are.
Detroit Control. They're in Detroit. Over.
3, 2, 1.
Rocket Mortgage at QuickenLoans.com. Push button. Get mortgage.
Rocket.
Visit for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org number 3030.
There's more than one way to invest in your education. Investing in the right products, securities, and real estate generates secure and sound futures. What about an investment that retains its value? Consider college real estate. College real estate can provide housing for students and generate returns for their families. Through this special offer from Austin iLabs, you can download the free workbook from collegerealestate.com to see if this investment is right for you. Go to collegerealestate.com/radio.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
Safety, safety, safety. I'm saying it three times. Studies show you need to hear something three times to remember it. So remember, safety, safety, safety is important to me, me, me. That's why I love Grainger. Grainger has the products to help keep our facilities safe and people safer. Say it with me, kid. Safety, safety, safety from Grainger, Grainger, Grainger. When you think safety, think Grainger. Get it? Got it? Good. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Talking to you about your money strategies, Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum. We got some lines open for you right now. If you've got a money question you need answered right here, right now, you can give us a call right here, right now. 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R, 877-752-6637. Emails at our website, wealth, W-E-A-L-T-H, wealtheds.com, wealtheds.com. And we got room on the phones for you right now. So either way you want to get in touch with us, you can ask your questions that way, via the phones or via the emails. We have been talking so far about real estate and some of the advantages of owning real estate, Professor Plum. We mentioned depreciation. You can take depreciation on the structure, oftentimes, of whatever investment property you have. It helps you from a tax standpoint right now.
It can, yes.
Yes.
Depends on how much your household income is, though. We were talking about it before. If you make more than $100,000, you lose the ability to actually show a zero or a negative. Not a zero, you can show zero. But you can't go negative and use that negative passive mm-hmm. income from the rental activity to offset other incomes. That's where a lot of people really like the rental property, where they can basically shelter some of my other salary, some of my interest, and other
ordinary income you're talking about.
From other parts of the tax return. So if you make more than $150,000, you can't go negative at all. Now, for the normal individual,
wait, $150,000.
$150,000 of adjusted gross income. For the normal individual, if we show too big of a loss on the property, we're still not allowed, even at lower income levels, to show too big of a loss. The most we can show as a loss from a tax perspective, for the average person, is $25,000. We lose the ability to go negative by that $25,000 once we exceed $100,000 in AGI, and it's a dollar for $2 over the limit. So do the math. At $150,000, we are no longer able to take any negative passive loss. Negative passive loss? Would that be a tax?
Double negative? Is that
That'd
a positive loss?
That'd be a passive gain then.
Yeah.
We were not able to take
a passive loss.
on our tax return. So when you hear people talk about, you got to buy real estate to get the tax benefits, but if you're making $150,000 adjusted gross income or more, you're not going to get the big tax benefits of using it to offset other areas.
Now, you can still depreciate, right? You just can't go negative.
And then it becomes this is where accountants really make their
gain. Absolutely.
Because, once again, when
you have to recapture that depreciation, which you have to do upon the sale of
and
the property.
You have a suspended loss that gets carried forward to, it's...
Thank you,
accountants, for doing this kind of work.
This is
tedious, crazy stuff. But if you have rental properties, you're going to want an accountant.
That's right.
And you want a good accountant that knows how to do rental properties.
Now, you're going to depreciate the property, but when you sell, you have to, by law, recapture depreciation whether you took it or not. So you should take full advantage of...
Well, whether you took it or not, whether you were able to take it and you didn't...
Well, that's what I mean. That's what I'm saying.
Because we just got done telling people sometimes you can't take the depreciation.
Right. Well, if you can't take it by law, then you can't recapture it by law. But whatever you took... You need to recap.
And a lot of people say, well, I don't want to deal with all that accounting hassle, so I'm just not going to depreciate it, and I'll just show the income as it is. I'll do my normal expenses, but I'm not going to depreciate it. Well, if you were supposed to depreciate it and you didn't, the IRS is going to tax you on it anyway, so you might as well depreciate it. So they'll come back and they'll say, hey, where's your recapture? Mm-hmm. And you're going to have to pay it.
Now, the properties, should they increase? We'll say that should the properties appreciate in value, and you sell that. If you own it personally, you can sell that at long-term capital gains rates.
Assuming you hold it for more than a year, most people do.
We're making some assumptions here.
Flippers are a whole different game.
No, and that'll be short-term capital gains, which is the same as your ordinary income.
And if you do more than a couple of years, it's going to not just be short-term capital gain, it'll be ordinary income, and it could potentially be subject to self-employment tax as well.
Yes, because that means that's what
it's your job.
You've been doing it for a living. All right, but you have that, the potential to use capital gains taxes for your appreciation, the deductible expenses, we mentioned that. Now, the topic, of course, was buying it inside the IRA. Now, when things happen inside an IRA, it's a little bit different.
Well, for the most part, everything that happens inside the IRA is tax deferred. You don't get to take tax deductions because it's all in the IRA. The deductions don't flow through to me personally because I own it inside. You don't own it. You're the IRA, you are the beneficiary of the IRA, but the IRA is the owner of the asset. and the IRA is a tax-deferred investment. It doesn't get the depreciation. It doesn't show the taxable event of the income. If you know, so there's no fun and games that happen at the IRA level. Now, when the money comes out of the IRA, obviously it's still in the IRA, so it's a matter of the IRA rules control all of that. And so you don't get the depreciation, you don't get the step up in tax basis, you don't get the long-term capital gains treatment. And is that the worst thing in the world? Well, I mean, there still may be reasons to buy it. And if the IRA is the only place to get it, then that's what you might do. But the goal would be to try to find out some other way to buy it personally and use the IRA, if possible, somehow to help make the payment. And so use the IRA money in a different way rather than buying it inside the IRA. But use the IRA distribution, either through a 72T or if you're 59 and a half or older, just as a distribution, to own it, you know, personally. Use all the tax benefits of owning it personally to help shelter the income coming out of the IRA. And that way you still maintain the long-term capital gain rate. You still maintain the recapture, you know, not the recapture, the depreciation that you can take. And heaven forbid you die with it, full step up in basis. I was talking to somebody the other day. They were talking about, unfortunately, they lost their wife about a year ago.
Really?
And they had a rental property. They've had rental properties for years. And one in particular they've had for about 30 years, and it had been depreciated down to nothing. There was nothing left to depreciate. They had already depreciated every penny on it. And so he had a reasonable, taxable cash flow because whatever he was receiving was taxable. There was no depreciation to offset it. And when he went to his accountant, this is the first year in April when he went this year, the accountant told him, hey, look, unfortunately your wife did pass away, but you now get to redo the depreciation on that rental property. And not just what you paid for it back in 1985, you get to depreciate it at the value that it was last year and when your wife passed.
And this person says, what? Wait a minute, I already depreciated this down to zero.
I've already depreciated it once. They're going to let me depreciate it again? And again at a higher number. Because, I mean, I don't know what he paid for it back in 1985, but my guess is it was worth quite a bit more in 2015 than it was in 1985. And yes, he gets to depreciate it again because, unfortunately, his wife did pass. They did own it as a community property in a community property state, full step up in basis, brand new tax basis for depreciation, as well as a new tax basis for determining gain going forward. So all that gain wiped out. All that depreciation wiped out. Gets to start again. So his cash flow that is pretty nice now with a paid off property doing, it's going to be sheltered by quite a bit of depreciation.
Yes.
So he's going to get a pretty nice tax-free. But if that had been in his IRA, no benefit, no step-up in basis. The income still would have been taxable, 100%.
See, and this is the biggest problem the biggest problem I have with people who buy real estate in the IRA. And I know that there are certain benefits, especially with Roth, and we could talk a little bit about that. But buying real estate inside the IRA, I mean, you're taking what would be a capital asset, a capital gain asset with the potential for a step up in basis, as you saw in that example right there, and you're getting rid of all that because it happens to be inside the IRA.
We have that same problem with stocks, too, though, stocks that we hold for a long period of time. It's
sure,
that there's a little bit more tax advantage to the real estate side with the depreciation and the cash flow and things of that nature than there is on the stock portfolio.
I don't care as much about the stock side of it because oftentimes when you're buying them inside your IRA or your 401k or a tax deferred account, you're doing so while you're building up. I mean, that's the only way you can buy it in some.
But on the other side, once we get out to retirement, if possible, if it fits the right way, our first reaction to stocks is to own them personally, not in the IRA at that point.
Yeah.
If we're going to have a split between personal money and taxable tax deferred money, we may want to be looking at the stocks. We may want to be looking at the real estate in our personal accounts rather than in IRAs. Once we get to 70 and a half, the IRA owning real estate can become problematic because now you've got to have it valued every year for the required minimum distribution. The IRS is cracking down on that. They're not just going to take book value anymore.
Important point. If you own real estate in your IRA, you still have to take a required minimum distribution out of that. Well, how are you going to take that out of your IRA? You don't even know what the value is. You got to get it valued every single year.
And hopefully you've bought property that has a very good cash flow that will satisfy the required minimum distribution just from the cash flow. But if you're buying it with a very break-even type of cash flow, you better have other IRA money because you're going to have to make a required minimum distribution. And unlike a stock portfolio, I own 4,000 shares of XYZ stock at a total value of $400,000, where I can say, take some shares of that stock out of my IRA brokerage account and transfer it to my personal brokerage account, and that satisfies the required minimum distribution. I can't say take 10%, 4%, 5% of the value of the house and transfer it to my name personally so that now I am in partnership. There's a difference between my personal account owning individual shares of stock and my IRA owning individual shares of stock of the same company. They're still separate shares versus me owning a percentage of a property and my IRA owning a percentage of a property because it's still one property. I'm now in partnership with my IRA. That's a little bit of a no-no. So you can't just easily satisfy the RMD unless you have other assets. Now, if you have other assets, it's fine. But that's also why we talked about Roths a little bit. I don't have as big a problem owning real estate in a Roth as I do with the traditional IRA. It's just, I don't like them in a traditional IRA. What can I say? It's my opinion.
All right, there you go. And an opinion is often fact, all right?
I'm not saying that.
I'm not either. I said often. Okay, we got room on the phones, 877-PLANNER. If you've got questions, call now. We'll take your calls, we'll take your emails, and we'll talk a little bit more about this when we come back. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group. It is Bucket Strategy Investing.
Lucia Capital Group advisors travel the country talking to individuals about retirement at open seminars, but they can also schedule a private seminar at your company and customize a retirement planning presentation for your employees.
I'm Rick Plum, certified financial planner.
And I'm Terry Keyes, chartered financial consultant.
We'll teach you a strategy to integrate Social Security benefits with your other investments.
We'll talk about lifetime income strategies and what alternatives to stocks and bonds may fit into your retirement plan.
We'll tell you what you should know about managed portfolios, and we'll discuss your concerns about outliving your money, stock market volatility, and managing your taxes.
Business owners and HR managers can now schedule private retirement planning meetings for organizations of 50 or more. Call Lucia Capital Group at 800-644-1150 to schedule. That's 800-644-1150. Rick Plum and Terry Keyes are registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities LLC, a registered broker-dealer member SIPC. Lucia Securities is a wholly owned subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group, a registered investment advisor. All investments are subject to risk, including loss of principal.
Every investor has their own unique financial fingerprint, each with their own unique concerns.
The concern that I have is that I'm not going to have enough money for retirement.
At Lucia Capital Group, we hear your biggest concerns.
Taxes in retirement. Taxes are already biting us pretty good.
Retirement in today's economy can be overwhelming.
Most of my 401k is in a high-risk investment. I'm concerned about that.
If you're worried about outliving your money, the unpredictability of the stock market, or risks associated with inflation, call Lucia Capital Group for a complimentary plan review. Learn how the bucket strategy is designed to provide opportunities for diversification and investment options in a low-interest rate environment. Schedule a consultation at no cost by calling 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150, or visit luciacap.com, luciacap.com.
Securities offered through Lucia Securities LLC, member FINRA SIPC, a subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group, an affiliate of Lucia Wealth Services. The strategy involves investment subject to risk.
After a rough day on the range, a feller can get a bit saddle sore. That's why I use Blue Emu Original Super Strength Cream. It works fast and penetrates deep to soothe my tired muscles and joints.
And he don't stink.
And I'll tell you one thing. I had no idea this stuff was so darn handy.
Blue Emu Original Super Strength Cream. Available at all major retailers. It works fast for long-lasting soothing of tired muscles and joints.
And you won't stink.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, and we have great rates for smokers too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
I love getting a bargain, but there are some things I'll spend the extra money on, like my bedding. I used to think, what does it matter? I'm sleeping. But once I tried thecompanystore.com, I got it. See, they've been around for over 100 years, so they've perfected what it takes to make the finest quality bedding and home goods for the best price. They not only set the bar for comfort, they last.
Visit thecompanystore.com and try any product risk-free. Enter the code VALUE and get 15% off plus free shipping. Thecompanystore.com. We're all about comfort.
Market strategy investing. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum. There's another hour coming up. Just ahead, if you've got questions for the Brain Trust, you should give us a call right now. 877-PLA-NNER, 877-752-6637. Lines open for you, and we'd be happy to take your questions. There's another hour just ahead as well, so if you've got questions that you need to wait for whatever reason, you can do so. Give us a call next hour. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about next hour. Some of the stuff that we hadn't gotten to over the last couple of days, including the whole idea of yield versus yield to maturity. We didn't really get to that on the bond fixed income investment discussion from the other day, and other stuff to talk about as well. So that's coming up next hour. Again, 877-PLANNER. You email us at our website, wealthed.com, at the Find Your Answer link near the top of the page. Been talking about real estate in the IRAs, Professor Plum. I don't care for it. I suspect you don't necessarily care for it either, although you're not as down on it as I might be.
I mean, if you're looking to add rental real estate to a portfolio and you have enough money in your IRA, and that's the only place you have money, and you're too young to get the money out of the IRA with any, I don't want to do a 72T at 35 years old.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Now, if I'm 55, 52, okay, 72T, I don't mind. I don't have that many years to screw it up.
Yeah.
But if I'm 35, I got 24 years to screw it up. I probably will. So I don't want to do the 72T at that age. But that's how you get money out of an IRA before such time. So it depends on where we are on the age, where the money is,
right,
and how we go about doing it. But there are issues with buying real estate in an IRA. It's not going to be the cheapest IRA custodian on the street. A lot of people who are so fee sensitive, and everybody tells you that you need to be fee sensitive, there are fees. I mean, hey, that's just life in the big city. It's part of doing business. One of the other attractions for real estate is the leverage. I mentioned that at the beginning of the discussion. Leverage is what attracts a lot of people to real estate. Over leverage is what gets them into trouble, but some leverage can actually help enhance the overall return. And so, especially with today's rates, we could lock in, hopefully, for a long-term time horizon at today's rates. And in time, that'll probably look very, very attractive. But leverage is one of the motivating factors. I can buy a $100,000 property with $20,000 down. I can buy a bigger property with less money down and use the rents to help pay it all. And as long as I do all my factoring right, I should be okay with that. So we're looking at leverage being an enhancer to the potential return of real estate. Unfortunately, leverage inside of an IRA can be difficult. Now, the advertisements say you can get plenty of preferential tax treatment, or not tax treatment, loans and everything. But the reality is, if you've got $1 million in your IRA, sure, you probably can get reasonable financing rates. If you've got $50,000 in your IRA and you want to buy even a $100,000 property, you're going to be 50% loan to value. I would probably not put all of it down on the property. You're going to probably be 75% loan to value. That becomes an issue, because what happens if you lose a tenant? You cannot use your credit rating to qualify for the loan. You cannot use your income to qualify for the loan. The IRA is a separate entity. The IRA is worth $50,000. The IRA cannot create an income, doesn't have an income. It can accept a contribution of maybe $5,500 a year, maybe $6,500 if you're old enough. But the banks don't necessarily like that kind of a backstop. They like a little bit more clarity. So it's going to have to qualify for it based on the property itself. And sometimes it's you're going to have to obviously then use less debt to get there.
The loan belongs to the IRA. The IRA is the one that's taking out the loan.
The property belongs to the IRA.
Yeah.
And if what happens if you lose a tenant? Well, the mortgage still has to be paid, and it still has to be paid from where? Your IRA. That's why if you have plenty of money in the IRA, that's fine. But if you don't, it makes it difficult to get those really good, low-cost loans, which obviously the higher the interest rate on the loan, the less affordable the property is, the less advantageous the property is. But there's another problem with debt, too. Let's say we do get that 50% loan value. And 5 years later, 10 years later, okay, we've paid it down a little bit. We bought that $100,000 property, and we use $50,000 of leverage on it. We've paid it down to $40,000 over the next 10 years. And the property is worth, $120,000 at that point. And for whatever reason, we decide to sell it. So we sell the property. The property, there's no capital gain on the sale. It's inside an IRA, correct? There's something worse. There's debt-financed income. The IRA will have to file a tax return and show a taxable event as basically ordinary income on the percentage of the gain that was attributable to the debt. So 40,000 out of 120 is 33%. So 33% of the gain is taxable. When is it taxable? In the year of sale. Who gets to pay the taxes? Your IRA files a tax return for itself. Not you. It doesn't go on your tax return. It doesn't show up as part of your income. It shows up as the IRA's income tax return. And you know what? As an individual, we don't hit the 39.6% tax bracket until we have over $450,000-ish of taxable income. The trust, which it is in the IRA, hits the 39.6 bracket around $12,500.
It's like almost immediately.
That doesn't take that long to get to the high brackets there. That can be painful from that standpoint.
Right.
So now, what you would want to do is pay it off somehow before you sell it.
No, absolutely. Now, okay, we only got a couple minutes. Talk for just a second. By the way, 877-PLANNER, we'll take your calls next hour. Inside a Roth.
A Roth is a little bit different. One of the advantages we talked about owning it personally was the step up in basis and the deferral of gain and all that.
Yeah.
Well, the Roth is going to be tax-free anyway. So if we're not doing the debt-financed issue where we potentially have a taxable event at the Roth level, it's going to be tax-free. So when I'm looking at a Roth IRA, I want one of two types of investments in my Roth IRA, potentially. I want something that has the best total return potential, or I want something that creates the best income, depending upon where I am and what I'm trying to accomplish with my Roth IRA. So if I'm younger and I want the best total return potential, usually, though, there's not enough money in the Roth to get a rental property. But maybe I've been very diligent and I've been able to save and I've done some conversions, whatever. If you think that that rental property has the best total return potential, then the Roth is fine for that particular property. On the other side, I'm retired. Maybe I want to use the Roth to help me with my tax situation now. So I want to find whatever investment has the best highest taxable income. Now that may or may not be a real estate property, because a real estate property, if I own personally, much of it could be tax deferred because of all the personal benefits of owning real estate. In the IRA, it's tax free, but I may be able to find other things for the IRA to give me better tax treatment, because it'd be totally taxable from there. So I may not want to use it at that point.
We got more to talk about. We're out of time this hour. If you need the brain trust off the air, Professor Plum or any of the advisors from Lucia Capital Group, their number, 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150. Another hour is just ahead. Stick around. Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities, LLC. In the information presented, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.